Okay, so hi everybody and welcome to the OPS-CSSA call today on the 26th of March. On the call right now we have Jim Galvin, Mikey O'Connor, Jörg Schweiger, and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc is trying to get on the call, so hopefully soon.
I'm on there.
Oh, you're here. Great. For Mike and staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Patrick Jones, and Christina Nordstrom, and apologies from Julie Hedlund and Mark Clusters.
Great. Thanks, Christina, and welcome to the call, everybody. I hope everybody made it home okay and safe. I've got a pretty short but I think action-packed agenda up there. I thought we'd just sort of spend a few minutes debriefing on what happened in Costa Rica. And then I've sketched out a couple of documents that I wanted to run by you all before trying them out on the full DSSA call, so I thought we could spend some time on that. And then we had a bit of a conversation about my somewhat hand-handed action to add Wendy as an observer. I thought we should sort of step back from that and talk a little bit about sort of the process to bring people into the group. And so those are the three things that I had for the agenda. Is there anything that people want to add to that? It's pretty loose, so we can probably work a bunch of stuff in as we go. So what were people's reactions to the San Jose trip? Any thoughts that people want to share? I've got some, but I don't want to go first. I felt like the meeting on Thursday was sort of all Mikey all the time, and so I don't want to be first on this debrief thing for that reason. Anybody else want to
share? Hi, Mikey.
Share a
reaction? May I? Should I
go
start?
Ahead. Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to comment on is basically that in our meeting where we were face to face in San Jose, we didn't recap on how the presentations in the respective constituencies have been. And I might just want to add, even though you yourself have been there with me as well, just want to recap on that one and explain or give a short impression on how this went to the other folks on the ops group. And to my point of view, it was obvious to most of the audience within the CCNSO that we were just in the middle of a wrap of our method, and that we were kind of struggling hard to get the process done. And those people in the audience felt, given the choice between those three things we put on top of our agenda, so are we striving for speed, or are we striving for accuracy, or a combination of those two, or are we striving for detail, and recommending that we would want to go for speed was not particularly well received, because people felt that basically they wouldn't have any choice and we wouldn't have any choice. So I think the voting, even though there hadn't been any kind of voting in its real sense, was you should speed up with what you are doing, but there is a little bit of skepticism concerning what might be lost if we really heading for speed and if we would leave detail or accuracy aside. So that basically was, from my point of view, the feedback we got from the CCNSO. Probably, Mikey, if that wasn't clear enough, you might want to add something. Thanks.
I heard pretty much the same thing from the CCNSO, Jörg, that And I heard it from lots of other people, too, is that while people want us to quickly get our arms around this, they also want us to go deep into at least a few things. That, you know, they don't want this to be just a once-over lightly quick pass. That, you know, they do want that depth. And I've got some ideas about that. So I heard the same thing. Olivier, you want to chime in on that, or did you have a different thing that you wanted to do?
Thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier here. I think it's I'm pretty much in agreement with what Jörg just said. As you know, the session that I did for the ALAC was the end of the Sunday, where everyone's braid was pretty much fried, so we didn't manage to get very much out of the audience at the time. However, the discussion that I had later on in the week with several people was there was some confusion as to which direction we're going, perhaps because we haven't actually started, you know, we're looking at a method, but not actually going through with an example or some real data, some tangible data, and there seems to be a sense of anticipation, or if I could even say people thinking, well, look, isn't it time you start going and, you know, start a process of analysis rather than just go through the motions of the design of the process. So I did sense some impatience in some way, and I think others might have felt this too. At least that's what I felt.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of what I heard all week. I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as impatience, but certainly strong interest in what we're doing and a desire to sort of get out of the methods stuff and into the real analysis. So I would agree with that as well. Any other thoughts that people want to share on that topic, the sort of go fast, go deep conversation? You know, Bart, don't be shy. Jim, I know you're in a noisy place, Jim, but if you got any feedback,
Mikey, it's Olivier. Could I just add one more comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that is, you know, some of the community doesn't quite understand because this is a very technical thing. I think we will be. It will be very hard to get a lot of feedback from the majority of the community out there. Let's face it, this is a very targeted, very technical group. And it only is going to resound with some of the members of the community. So all in all, I've found the response to be positive for what it is, and certainly confidence into moving further forward. But as I mentioned earlier, moving forward with perhaps tangible goals and we might even have to look at a couple of quick wins to show that we're making progress on this. And show a little bit more easily where we're going from here.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right. And I have some ideas about that too. That I'll share a little bit later on the call. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm sorry I missed the session in Costa Rica. That was one of the problems with the schedule. On Thursday, there were so many overlapping things that were related at the same time that the DSSA was meeting. I know, Mike, you were in the board-level DNS risk management framework update in the morning, and there was a lot of good feedback from them about the work that this group is doing. So I think you've got the encouragement, or the group should feel they have some encouragement from the board that they're interested in the work. I'm hopeful that in Prague we're able to untangle the schedule a little bit so there's not so much overlap with things that really divert people from going to this.
Yeah, I liked the Thursday schedule because it was sort of all security all day, and I like that theme. And maybe what we can, as you say, what we can do is sort of untangle that a bit so that we can sort of all ride together. The room was interesting. You know, we had, in the morning, in the early morning, we had a room that was a bit too big, and then we had a room that was a bit too small for the DSSA. So there's sort of the finding the just right room puzzle for that. But I think if we can get that squared away, that a security day or at least security thread on a day could be really productive. 'Cause it was terrific to be able to spend time with first with ESSAC and then with the board level risk committee and then DSSA all in a row. I thought that was pretty neat, actually. And, you know, the other thing that I think we got as encouragement was the mentions of the DSSA in the draft from the SSRRT, which came out, I think it was published on Thursday. And I read it while I was on holiday. And there are several mentions of the DSSA as an example of something. They don't go into a lot of detail, but the DSSA was always mentioned in a sort of positive example sort of way. So I think that it's impatience, but positive impatience. I don't think people are mad at us for where we're at. I think a lot of people acknowledge the work that we've done. At the same time, I think people are interested in sort of seeing us punch out the backside of this process. I think one of the things that's interesting is that a lot of people view what we've done so far, the methods stuff, as a major deliverable. If you call it a risk framework, you know, that's something that's called out in the SSRRT report as something that I can, should do. And I think a lot of people are looking at what we've done so far as a good example of that, or at least a good starting point for that. So I sort of came away with the same message, which is good job, but don't spend your lifetime at it, and get down to specifics. Bart, go ahead.
Just to add to that one, I think, and I refer to the what Jörg was referring to as well, say the discussion in the CC meeting and on Thursday afternoon a little bit, is I think at this stage, and you already have a agenda or a outline for a report, is that I think in the CC community, people are not really aware, with the exception of the larger CCTLD, what it takes to run through or apply the methodology. And say that's one, it's a very laborious process. And on the other hand, say they don't have the resources. So that's the CEC community. And on the other hand, what I see as well, and probably you as OpsDSSA note as well, is that we start to burn out some of the volunteers over time. So I think, say, the Costa Rica meeting was a good point to raise the flag, is where do we need to go? And that, say, that discussion on either run through it fast or go in depth should be concluded at the Prague meeting, and that should go back to the participating SOs and ACs. But that's that was my sense of it, and I think you sent something like this during the DSSA working group on Thursday as well.
Yeah, and just a preview, something that I thought about over the following week. One of the things that happened in the Thursday meeting reminded me of a project that I did quite a few years ago, and that is for a university system here in Minnesota. We've also got sort of an interesting autonomy roles and responsibilities puzzle that we need to get through. And I think what we need to do is put together this framework, generate some examples of the results, and also frame some options for how these reviews are done. Because, for example, this methodology is pretty intense, and it's not clear to me that a CC registry is going to take kindly to the idea of us doing a review of them. Bart, go ahead.
We haven't discussed this topic yet, and I think that's so at least in my opinion, that's one of the flaws of this methodology. The starting point is one organization's, and say what I understand of the methodology, and we hit that point already some time ago, is if you really start trying to understand the impact of what is happening, you have to do it from an organizational perspective. And this is where we went wrong. This is when Jim came up with these different categories. Is it a small CCTLD? And you have to do it, say, at least those who are using methodology have to do it from their own perspective.
Right. And so, again, to preview something, I think that one of the things that we will need to do is during the time between now and Prague, we're going to need to have a conversation about roles and responsibilities between what is actually a fairly diverse group of organizations. And I've even got some ideas about that, but I don't want to go too deep now and get us derailed at this point. Jim, you've been patient. Are you in a quiet enough place that you can talk?
Well, let's find out. I wanted to call out that I had put some stuff in the chat room that I didn't think you were noticing.
Oh, good. No, I'm not. Super distorted. Are you?
I'm calling from Skype.
Ah, okay.
So, not working too well, huh?
No, it's okay. It'll work. We'll concentrate.
Okay. So there are two things that I wanted to say. I'll just expand a bit on what I was saying in the chat room. I mean, I'm generally in agreement with everything that's been said so far. I also sense a certain amount of urgency, but I've been trying to think of a different word. Urgent is not really the right word to use. And so what I was saying there in the chat room about what I think people really want is they just want to see something. You know, I mean, we've been at this for a year, and it feels like they want to know that, you know, we're actually making progress, and there's, you know, some work out there, something for them to read so they can judge where we are. And that's where I think the urgency comes from, you know, that just want to see some evidence that there's some closure coming. I'm not sure if I'm making all that clear, but maybe you can flip that back, and hopefully that makes sense. The other thing I also think in general is we are having issues, I think, with participation in the group. And this is just sort of a normal thing, right? The longer a group runs, the more attrition that one sees. On the upside, we didn't get much discussion in the SAC meeting when we made the presentation, but we did motivate a few more people to come to the meeting on Thursday, and I don't know whether this has made its way around yet to the secretariat, but we're going to swap in those are my two points.
Well, those are, I agree with those two. I think that that's part of what motivated me to crash out a couple of things over the holiday. Is because we actually have gotten a lot done. We just haven't documented it in a way that's easy to see. And so I thought that it might be useful to bash out an outline of the report, sort of as the framework that we can actually hang quite a bit of stuff that we've already done on. And I went ahead and hung a lot of tinsel on that tree. So that people can see what we've done, and also so that we can really start editing it. And I think that this process, I mean, one of the puzzlers that comes out for me in the SSRRT report is the question, is the DSSA a one-time thing or an ongoing thing? Or does it start as a one-time thing and transition into an ongoing thing? And if so, how does that happen without, I mean, there will, the implication in the SSRRT report in several places is that the DSSA is an ongoing effort. And I think when I do my comments, I'm going to highlight that we really aren't chartered to do that. We're chartered as a project with a beginning, middle, and end. And that one of our findings might be to encourage the formation of something that's ongoing because it may be useful. And again, I view that as a positive thing in that it was, I think, a great compliment to what we've done so far by the members of the SSRRT group, because some of them are quite aware of what we've been doing. In fact, there's some overlap between the groups. But we do need, we've got a series of interesting puzzles that we need to at least think about and write a little bit down about between now and Prague so that we can show people the broad outline and paint some of these puzzles in a clear way. And I decided that the mechanics of putting together a report outline would be a good way to start that. So when we get to the next chart, the next part of this call, you need to realize that what I've done is purely a throwaway effort. I mean, we can pitch the whole thing if you don't like it and come at this a different way. But in a way, that was my response to that feedback, which is what I heard as well, which is, well, what have you been up to, and where are you going, and how can I read all this? And in fact, you know, Bill Manning's post to the DSSA list is sort of the same thing. I had a question for you all because I don't know anything about the RSSAC. I mean, I know what the initials stand for. But could somebody sort of fill me in on where they fit and answer maybe at the first pass, you know, whether the RSAC should also be involved in this? Does somebody who knows the interrelationships between the organizations better than me want to take a crack at that? Patrick, do you straddle that one as well, along with all the other ones that you keep an eye on?
So this is Patrick. I don't, although the Root Server Advisory Committee is a advisory committee to the board, just like SSAC is. There was a review of the RSAC, and the SAR review team report refers to that. I believe in this group, Bill is in the DSSA from RSAC. You might ask him just to clarify that. But they're on the same level as SAC, but with the board is providing advice on root server operations.
Okay. Well, you know, I think all of that goes into the pile that I'm calling the future of the DSSA puzzle. And I think that there's a giant opportunity to do something pretty interesting here. I'll be curious to see what you all have as a reaction to it when I get to it here in a minute. Anything else from San Jose before we sort of dive on to the next brief tour of all this stuff that I wrote down over the week? Okay. Oh, good. Russ is going to join us. And is Warren Kumari the guy from Google, Jim? He was...
Yes, he is.
Yeah, okay. I thought they were both pretty interested, active. Oh, and by the way, I need to formally, I will do this on the DSA call too, but I felt terrible right after I said it, and it was too disruptive at the time. But I threw Jim under the bus when I stuck him with when I made that comment about how security got pulled out of the list of threat events into its own and said, well, it was your idea, Jim. I don't know where that came from. That was an elderly gentleman brain fart, but it was inexcusable. And I'm going to apologize for that on the DSSA call as well. I have no idea what neuron fired to make that happen, but anyway, sincere apologies for that, Jim. I felt pretty bad throughout the rest of the meeting and the rest of the week. So anyway, thanks for letting me off the hook on that. Okay, let me show you what I did, because I think that a lot of what we've been talking about, we've actually done quite a bit of work. We just don't have a good way of showing it. And so I thought I would structure the conversation around a report outline. So what's on the screen, I'll make it a little bit. Can people read it at this font size if I leave it this small on your screen? Because it's going to get pretty big and pretty bushy pretty fast. So if you can live with this font size, that would be helpful. Okay, well, if it gets too small, let me know. Basically, what I did is two big documents. The first one is the report outline. And at the top level, you can see it's pretty standard. It's findings, approach, and appendices is the big stuff. If I expand at one level, in the findings, I structured them basically around our charter. What's the actual level, frequency, and severity of threats? And then I talked a little bit about our analysis approach, which the risk scenarios. I loved Roy's compound sentence idea as a way to turn what we're doing into a one-page summary, and I'll show you that summary in a minute. I built an Excel spreadsheet that, again, is a throwaway, but I love that idea as a way to sort of describe what we're doing, because it seems to me that what we could do from now till Prague is document this structure that we've come up with, refine it, edit it, make it right, and then also come up with a series of high-risk scenarios in that structure to show how the structure would get used. And then, again, still at a very high level, identify any gaps that are highlighted by those high-risk scenarios, and then perhaps propose a few things, also by way of example. So let me, this part is really just the definition of the DNS, and there's a clip out of Greg's email, and then the architecture work that we did. And I think what I'll do is I'll just spin you through all this really quick. The next part is the methodology, all in a row, but with examples. So threat events is the stuff that we've done, the not resolved incorrect. We'll circle back to that. The adverse impacts we've done, at least in the first pass. There's a likelihood scale that I'm going to skip for the minute. But then what I did is I started coming up with a list of vulnerabilities. And I wanted to pause for a minute and change our point of view. It seems to me that what we have focused on in the early days of the analysis were mostly technical vulnerabilities, DDoS attacks, name meaning, stuff like that. And all of those are here. I haven't lost any. What I did wherever I could is I stapled in the work we'd already done into this framework. And so, for example, there's, you know, if you follow down this trail, you'll find that I've stapled in the vulnerabilities discussion that we already had. But what I realized is that we've got, if you step back from this methodology has a cookie crumb to another gigantic document, which is another standard that we may want to consider accepting as part of the methodology that we're using, that documents a whole series of different kinds of vulnerabilities. And it breaks them into three categories: managerial, operational, and technical vulnerabilities. And I think that where this led me is, and I'm not going to read them, but I'm going to encourage you all. I have to work in the mind map. This is too big to put into a word right now. It's very time-consuming to turn this into a Word document. So I really want to strongly encourage you all to download the free mind mapping software so that you can open this file. I'll post it to the list after this call if people don't go crazy. Because I think what we need to do is define all of these things in a way that makes sense for ICANN. There are definitions in the methodology that we can use as a starting point, but I didn't want to start that mechanical process until I'd run this by you to make sure that this wasn't totally crazy. But if you think it's reasonably on the beam, it's a fairly straightforward thing to come up with definitions for each of these pretty quickly. Then I did the same thing for predisposing conditions. And here is an example of a definition out of the methodology. Again, that I've stapled into this draft document. And then, if I expand this one level, what I did is I made up these. these are not from the methodology. But if you take a look at the list, what you start to see is some of the kinds of issues that show up in the SSRRT report, which is that we have an interesting puzzle here because of the nature of the ICANN organization. It's multi-stakeholder. It's got a very peculiar legal standing in that it's a California nonprofit run worldwide resource. Big, long discussion there. There are a whole lot of interesting discussions to have in terms of responsibility, accountability, authority between providers of the DNS that we're going to have to get through, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a big, long discussion in terms of the predisposing conditions that I just highlighted the top level of. Again, thinking that what we could do is start breaking into subgroups and writing paragraphs as individuals so that, you know, I think can prepare a very large body of work for Prague pretty quickly if we split the work up a bit. Then the document that I let's see, where did I? I'm gonna have to. Here's the documentation of where I got these controls from. This is another NIST standard. It's NIST 800-53, and if you want a list of controls, believe me, I have never seen a list like this before. It's fabulous. And I think that one of the things that we out of the DSSA can do is point to tools like this and say, these are awfully good. They would need to be tailored to your specific organization and circumstance. Welcome back, Jim. Sorry that you dropped off. But it's as big as the document, as the 800-30 that we're using for our method. And I found it to be a fabulous resource for an organization that wants to do a vulnerabilities review. And so what I did at the very top level is just summarize again. No, not that one. Sorry. I'm still sort of learning this tool. So again, a whole series of definitions of the kinds of controls that could be in place or should be in place. I think the word has to be could be in place because we have no prescriptive authority as the DSSA or even ICANN over, say, a CCNSO member. I think we've got an interesting puzzle to solve here. That's not unlike the puzzle that I had to solve here in Minnesota in terms of a central authority prescribing what a decentralized organization could do. We simply didn't have the authority to do that. What we can do is describe good tools, good practices, good techniques, provide good resources to help people get there. But we couldn't tell what to do because we had no authority to do so. And I think that ICANN and the DSSA finds itself in exactly the same circumstance. On the other hand, I think that there are some fabulous models out there that we can very quickly come up with to show people a way to go. But we have puzzled us all. All right. So the threat sources are familiar. We have the work that we already did, and these should be familiar to you. And so I just stapled these in, and we probably need to refine those. And then this is a scale that we need to tailor. And the upshot is the compound sentences thing. I totally loved that idea that Roy came up with, and so I stole it, lock, stock, and barrel. And my thought is that we can build at least a handful of these compound sentences by way of example, and maybe build 10 to 15 of them, we'll see. And along with all this other stuff, show those to the folks in Prague as an example of how this approach could be applied in a DNS provider context. But again, I don't think that we can proscribe the application because we have no authority. Jörg, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mikey. I just want to make sure that I do understand you right and that I do understand where we are heading. As far as I do interpret it right now, I think we are more or less on our way to rewrite the charter a bit, where we not actually determine the danger and level and frequency of any DNS risk, but what we would do, as far as I understand it, is that we provide somebody else with a customized method set for analyzing their risk, because as we already said, we can do it like we would get into assuming what, for example, what measures would be in place with Verizon, as we just can do so. So we're not about to determine the risk level, but we would specify methods to assess, and in that line, we kind of provide those threat sources, threat events, vulnerabilities, and so forth we already found. Is that the direction we are heading in?
I think that's a topic for a long discussion, because I think that the way that the people who are participating, for example, VeriSign, signed up for this, they signed up saying that they would be willing to participate in a process like this that looked into their operation. And I think that's why Keith is with us, is because he's expecting at some point to divulge some of their information on this. And so I think that there's a gray area, not unlike all the other gray areas that we've explored, where some organizations may be willing to divulge some of this information in a confidential way. That's part of the reason why the confidential information piece of this is so important. But at the same time, I don't think that all organizations that provide NIS have signed up for that. And so I think that we've got a delicate balance to strike between those two. And I think that maybe what we will want to do is attempt to do both, although it's going to get very tricky. Nobody said this was going to be easy, Jörg. let me keep going, because I think that some of this may actually clear up when I get down into the approach to the future. I mean, part of the value of doing this outline is that it at least in my mind, it's fleshed out a lot of really interesting puzzles. And I guess the thing I want to make really clear is that I don't know the answer to that question yet, York. I think we have to figure that out. And I think it will probably not all get figured out between now and Prague, but I think the questions may be very clear by the time we get there, and some tentative answers may be there. Because if we go in, whoops, I skipped one. I'm going to skip around to this spreadsheet that I built, because I think it's a good example of the count and sentence thing. Again, oh, that's awfully small. Let me just see if I can make that a little bit bigger. Even I can't see it on my screen. Okay, is that big enough that you can see it through the Adobe Room? It's close. I'm hoping it's big enough. I'm going to send this out to the list as well. But if we say, not tolerable, I'm with Jim on that. And I do note that we're getting close to the top of the hour, so you can see that there's a long way to go here. And I guess I'm going to stop at this point because I've got a lot more to share with you. I guess the question that I've got for you is whether I can start sharing this with the full group on Thursday or whether you all want another pass at this before I splash all this stuff out in front of the full DSSA. I'd be perfectly willing to delay sharing this with the full DSSA and just spending the Thursday call debriefing on Costa Rica if you think that's the right thing to do. It may be the right thing to do anyway because we've got so much to cover. Okay, fine. Let me then go back to showing you around this thing real quick. We'll wait on sharing this stuff with the full group until at least a week from now. And
I interrupt you? What would anybody else think if we would use the call on Thursday to make it an ops call on this very topic? So everybody on the ops group would be obliged to take a closer look at it, and we could talk about it on Thursday without the group, just the ops.
I think you're going to find that there's an in here that I think it's better to wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. I was a busy guy. I was a very busy boy this week. So I think it's a good idea to just wait. And because I'm fine if it's finished but tolerable, but if there's something in here that's just totally intolerable to the ops group, I'd rather not have that discussion in front of everybody else. I think it would be very awkward. I don't think there's anything in here that's going to be intolerable, but I'd rather give you the chance to discover that on our own. So I think we'll wait a week. The nice thing is that this outline's far enough along and detailed enough that I am now completely confident that we can come up with a report by Prague. In fact, if you back in a corner and said you had to have a report done in 2 weeks, I can write it. So there's time to come at this a little bit more slowly and not the group quite that hard. So let's just wait a week. But let me give you a quick tour of this so that you know what's going on when you draft. Yeah. Jim is saying in the chat, when you support, you mean draft, right? And absolutely. So this is the compound sentence thing. I'm going to give you a tour, and then we'll wrap up because we're only about 3 minutes from the end of the call. But what Roy's comment made me think of was that this methodology that we're using actually does build compound sentences. And so if this is the adversarial risk scenario one. And what you'll find is that I now built underneath each one of those green tabs, I've built all the choices that we've got so far. And, you know, we can clearly edit all these choices. And those choices are found down in these tabs across the bottom. So if you want to see underlying tables, here's the adversarial threat source table. And here are the scales that come out of the methodology, but I've gently edited them to make them at least a little bit more reasonable for ICANN. They're not done. It's all draft, capital D draft, but there's at least a start. So what happens is that a person can confront this top page and basically compose compound sentences in any order they want. If they want to start with an adversarial threat source, they can say, organized crime, which has a capability of very high to very low, so they can put the capability in. They can put in their intent, and they can put in their targeting of the DNS and see this sentence start to build in front of them. I'm not going to do the whole thing because it gets to be too long, and we're a minute away from the end. But every single one of these green things has a drop-down list now that ties back to the methodology and eventually will tie back to the report. And my thought is that if we could build a number, I don't know how many, somewhere between 5 and 15, it seems to me, of these compound sentences as risk scenarios, that's the end product of this methodology, is these risk scenarios. And then from there, we do the analysis that says, you know, whether we think there are gaps, and if so, where they fall. So I'm going to send these two documents, a mind map of the report outline, and this Excel spreadsheet to the ops list, so that if somebody's following the list, they'll find them. But we won't take people on the call on Thursday through all this stuff yet. I'll also send a link to the FreeMind software so that you can download it. It's really not very hard to use. And it's really the only way to organize a document this big at this stage. It's too hard to manage this in Word just yet. So that concludes my report. It's 1 minute after the hour. I'm happy to talk longer, but for those of you who have to drop off the call, that's kind of where things stand. Are there any immediate reactions to this? Have I presumed too much by going ahead and doing this, or is this a useful exercise? Jim, is that you?
This is Jim. So, yes. Can you understand me well enough?
I'll put
the question in the chat room. All of this seems reasonable, seems rational to me. I do want some time to look at it, but I was just suddenly concerned about having to send out a link to the software. We're going to need to download and install that software in order to be able to read the document outline that you've got going.
Yeah, that's right. It's open source software that doesn't that's pretty well vetted by the community. Runs on all platforms: Linux, Mac, PC. I can send an HTML version that will expand and contract, but it's pretty ugly. Let me send both of those. And the export of this into Word is, it's not impossible. It just takes forever. It takes about 4 hours to actually move this into Word. And it's not done enough to justify that just yet, I don't think.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I don't want to make a whole lot of extra work for you here, but yeah, if you could, if there is a version, even HTML, and even if it is ugly, if you could you know, export that and it's not too much trouble, you know, send that along too, along with the other stuff.
The HTML export is quite easy. It's the exporting into Word where it's trying to do the outlining and level of stuff that it gets goofed up. It doesn't export quite as gracefully as we had hoped on that.
Okay, that's fine. As long as it's readable, we'll muscle our way through it and figure it out. That would be helpful.
Okay, I'll do that. Any other reactions? Just top of the, you know, the worry I had as I was doing this is that I would get way too far out in front of you all. And if you're feeling that way, that's fine. I want to make it really clear that this was just an exercise for me. It was very helpful for me to understand some of the issues and sort of get my arms around the whole methodology. And so if you feel that I have presumed too much and gone too far, don't be shy about saying so, and we'll step back from all this stuff. But it made me feel good to, as I say, sort of get a sense of what the report would look like in terms of major topics and so on. And if it's good, that's great. If you don't like it, we can certainly dramatically change direction. I think it's 5 minutes after the hour now, so I'm really feeling like we need to wrap up the call. I'll see you on Thursday. We'll focus on debriefing Costa Rica, and I'll leave the bring new people topic on the agenda for our next ops call because we just didn't get to that today. Apologies. That's it for me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.